This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sabres with the takeaway. Tage Thompson holds it. Fires! Yeah! Here you go, Steve. Little TNT to open the scoring here. Sabres win the draw. Quick pass up ahead. Trying to find a way to the net. Scores! Alex Tuck pulls his way to the net. 2-0 Buffalo. Here's a chance for the Sabres. 2-on-1 scores! Takeaway! Turk against the goal. James Reimer has set a new career best. 7 straight wins. His first shutout as a Buffalo Sabre.
And Buffalo rolls on home ice, but now they need to continue it on the road for the next 3 and then one final homestand of 2 games next Tuesday and Thursday. Welcome in. It's a wide open Wednesday. I'm rebranding the show. I'm inviting commentary on social at Sabres Live on any and all hockey topics. Marty, how are you?
I'm doing good. You know what? My takeaway from last night was interesting. So, I mean, yes, we were in the atrium. We were in the 100 level, so we got more interaction with a lot of fans and things. And after the game...
Marginally colder as well.
And it was a lot colder. After the game, you know, I'm having conversation with a couple of people, and they're like, oh, Montreal won. That means we're officially mathematically eliminated. And I'm like, I think a lot of fans were still hanging on to the it's a possibility, like the Sabres could run the table and maybe something happens that, you know, we get in. Like, I think we kind of knew for the last month this was not going to happen. But for a lot of fans, it was, oh, man, like, we saw that Montreal won. How disappointing is that? And I was like, okay. So that was my takeaway from last night, saying that there was a lot of people that still believed there was maybe a chance that it would happen, right? The dream could happen in a miracle, and that did not. Although there was some kind of a hockey miracle last night happen.
Oh yeah, we'll get to that.
The Vancouver Canucks came back to win a game in OT against the Dallas Stars. Like, they're down 5-2 with a minute left, and they won 6-5 in OT.
How many people do you think were in their cars in Dallas and didn't bother to have, like, wouldn't have even known, wouldn't have had sports on in the car after, would show up at work today, hey, how about that game last night?
Yeah. Hey, weren't you at the game last night? How,
like,
how insane
was
that?
We crushed them.
Yeah, like, yeah, we crushed them. Yeah, exactly.
Like, I would not excuse anyone for their ignorance in this situation as to what happened. Like, I mean, it wasn't even, I don't know, it didn't even feel like this dominant presence by Vancouver. It just felt like Oh, it happened. And then it happened again. And then it happened again. And then, of course, it happened again in overtime. It was like, holy cow. And this is, you know, this is where you start slicing losing streaks one way or the other to fit your narrative. Dallas has lost three in a row, but they still only have one regulation loss in the last 13. But you're not going to find a worse loss ever in the regular season than what Dallas pulled off last night.
Well, even Jim Houston, that does the play-by-play for Vancouver, when they scored 5-4, it's like, what's that? No, who does the play-by-play for Vancouver?
Jim Houston retired 10 years ago.
Did he really?
Yes.
I thought he was still doing like Hockey Night in Canada and Sportsnet and stuff, but well, you see how often I
John Shorthouse is the
John Shorthouse. Sorry. Yes, you're right. I'm like, wait a second. I'm mixing a few people here. Oh. He's like 5-3 scores. Artu Ratu with a minute left. It was like nothing. It wasn't like any emotion to it. And then 5-4. Oh, hold on a minute, folks. This is not over. But think of the media. Like, often the media will, like, a minute and a half left in a 5-2 game. They'll go to the elevator so they can get down and be first in the press room, in the locker room. And then you get down, and in the time the elevator went down, it's 5-5. And you're like, wait a second. So now you're scrambling, right, to, like, find out what happened.
By the way, as everyone knows, I tend to exaggerate this time to a fault. It's only 4 years ago. It was COVID, like it was around COVID time and whatever. So Jim's been retired for 4 years, but he was on Hockey Night, not specifically Vancouver. And so Shorthouse has been there forever, and he's awesome, and I love him, and he's one of my absolute favorites. So yeah, it was just it was a crazy night. In that sense, it was crazy, and you know, another relatively meaningless game between the Islanders and the Predators that too had some terrible drama from an Islander standpoint as they hacked up a 2-goal lead late and then lost in overtime. So
I heard today that the last time those two played, I think it was a 7-2 or a 7-3 game. So put the Islanders and the Nashville Predators together and you're getting a lot of goals.
Well, we also had that week about a month or 6 weeks ago when San Jose and Nashville produced those two epic clashes on back-to-back. So that's what happens.
There was some epic collapses and then it comes back.
But yeah, it actually made me revisit a little bit of Nashville's misery, and you know, it didn't matter even when Roman Josi was in the lineup this year, but I mean, he's been absent since three games after the Four Nations, and
yeah,
it ties in with their putrid goaltending and all the rest of it. It's a mess. But we'll save it for another day to see whether.
I wonder if Andrew Brunette in Nashville.
Well, he hasn't even been coaching. He's been away the last couple games.
Wow, or like anybody in Nashville.
No, I know.
Yeah. Is listening to, like, coaches kind of listen and they pay attention to what other coaches are saying. And when you're a team that's not doing well, you're going to look around the league and say, okay, who's a team that wasn't doing well, but now is somehow figuring out a little bit? And the Sabres are one of those teams, right? Like Montreal was one of those teams too. So if you wanted to listen to maybe what Marty St. Louis has said in post games when things turn around as to where the team was and where they went, maybe you learn a few things or two, and maybe you're using that to try to apply it to your team. One of the things Lindy said yesterday that I thought, if I am a Chicago or a Nashville or even a New York Rangers right now, or other teams that are not doing well, like that you can pluck out of what he said and say, oh, I'm going to try to get my team to do that. And it's really not something a coach can do. What Lindy said in the postgame yesterday, that it's kind of interesting now when you turn the puck over and guys come back to the bench and they let each other know. And it's not just the veterans, it's the young guys, and they know. Sometimes, like, I'll take Zach Benson for an example. They'll turn the puck over, he'll get back to the bench. He'll look over to Kulik or Thompson and be like, sorry, guys, can't turn that puck over. You know what? Let's keep it going forward. And then Yuri's going to say, okay, yeah, chip it, I'll go, or Tage, whatever. Like, there's that aspect of things. But I still get back to, when you turn the puck over and the puck doesn't end up in your net, you can come back to the bench and say, my bad, guys, it won't happen again. Like, I'm not going to make that play. I'm not, you know, that was not bad. That was on me. But when it ends up in the back of your net, you come back to the bench and you completely shut up because you don't want to say anything because the coaches are mad. You made the turnover. That created a goal. So the fact that you're still having some turnovers, it's a game of mistake. It's hockey. Mm-hmm. But you're not getting in the net as now open the door for guys to self-criticize and self-analyze and say, oh, I can't make that play. Sorry. And, well, you're getting success that way.
So what are you getting at?
What I'm getting at, it still comes down to, are you getting some saves?
And I know, Reimer but had some saves I'm yesterday. Trying to prod, push you further along the narrative that you just started. What are you getting at? What are you envisioning? What are you thinking about the end of this season schedule-wise? Who plays? And then your favorite saying now, first night next year.
Yeah, well, first night next year is a complete blank canvas in a way for me when I look at the goaltending because
hard to know.
To be like it's a lot easier to project the forward group to
is it
about 90% in
I
my
didn't
opinion
sleep last night because I still don't know where Josh Norris fits.
Okay, well,
I mean I know, but I don't because Jiří Kulík is a top line guy. This is an overwhelmingly frozen look you have right now on the television side, but I'll run with this narrative until you reset. Jiří Kulík.
I'm not. You are.
What?
Oh, I'm back now. Okay. My connection is unstable. That's what my computer is telling me. So
I could have told you that.
I could see my face. I could see you were frozen on my screen, but Jeff was still moving. For whatever reason, producer Jeff was alive and well, but we were both frozen. Okay.
Poetic because neither... trying to project the future and we can't even get out of the moment.
I know. So I think there's somebody that's in, do not project the future. boom, we're going to cut you up. No, so here's the thing. I can see 8 of the top 9 forwards next year and what that's going to look like.
Okay, do tell. I'm going to take notes and I'm going to... Okay,
take notes.
Yeah.
Norris Thompson. Mm-hmm. I'm not putting another winger there just yet. I want to see... what would happen?
Interesting.
Kulík, Tuck, Zucker.
Okay.
McLeod, Quinn, Paterka. So there's 8 of
That's
your top
interesting.
9.
Okay.
I mean, I get it. Like,
Jeff is going to build a graphic here. We're going to keep updating.
Well, it's like, look, it's like put a date on it and then, you know, we'll revisit it. Like, Sportsnet yesterday put a picture of Elliot Friedman who held a sign that said Sens playoffs. That was his bold prediction. And he did that at the start of the season. Mm. So then they put the still of Elliot Friedman projecting the Sens in the playoffs.
Do you know which team I pushed hard?
Montreal.
No. Well, mildly pushed Montreal. But with you and Shayna, I was almost to the point of showing... well, I was definitely disappointed in the lack of respect being shown the St. Louis Blues at the start of the year. Mm-hmm. And then it looked like, oh, you guys were right. And now it has turned, but now I'm nervous again because I still think they could stub their toe and miss. It'll be a big game tonight for St. Louis.
Yeah, it's a big game. I don't think they will. But anyway, that's 8 of the 9.
Hang on. Before I forget, you mentioned Montreal and Marty St. Louis and comments. And let's not forget, Montreal's won 6 in a row. This was on the heels of a 5-game losing streak. Yeah. It was only 2.5 weeks ago where I started the show talking about, wow, what a quote from Marty St. Louis last night who said, this is not failure, it's fertilizer.
Yeah.
Boom. They've been unreal ever since.
A little Amazing. Sun, a little rain, a little fertilizer. Boom. Winds are growing everywhere for Montreal.
Incredible.
And now they're getting... Demidov back, right? They're going to get
Not
Ivan
back.
Demidov.
Yes.
he got drafted, so they had him for a little bit. They lost him to the KHL. Now they're getting him back, but yes. And it's not like getting a college player at the end of the year. This is a young player, but a player that's played pro hockey. So it's a little bit different. But okay, Sabres, that's your top. That's 8 of the top 9. Mm-hmm. And I know you're going to say, okay, what are you going to do with Benson? What are you going to do with Krebs? What are you going to do with Kozak? And what are you going to do with, whatever you want to do with Lafferty, Malenstein.
Greenway.
Like, there's a lot of people. But I'm like, okay, You have a surplus right now, but the good teams, the extra one and two forwards that you have, they're players that could play probably on other teams. But you know what? You're a good team. That's what happens. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm looking at the you know, Benson, that's going to be tough. He's playing top line right now, but I don't see him in my top line. You know, you look at Lafferty, he has another year left. Malenstein has another year left. Payne Krebs has another year left. Greenway just signed his extension. We love what we're seeing out of Noah Oslin in a defensive side of game. I don't think a fourth line center is his spot, but Tyson Kozak could be there. And there could be other addition. It's not like the Sabres are going to sit here and say, oh, we're fine. I think the biggest thing is finding a top line winger, but that's 8 out of 9. And on the back end, it's looking really good the way that they have it going.
Can we just focus on the forwards?
Yeah.
Okay.
Back end's going to be for like a week later.
Like a week later in August?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Because I'm fascinated by your willingness to go down this, you know, this path. Because my time from post-game last night to early this morning was spent on Benson, Kulik, and Thompson.
Okay.
So, based on what you just said, and, you know, you're not projecting Zach to be where he is right now, which is logical, based on absentees from the lineup right now, I went looking into seeing how many minutes they have played together. Benson, Kulik, and Thompson. They have 10 games under their belt.
Yep.
92 minutes of even strength time on ice. They rank as the 8th most common line combination on the Sabres this year. Tuck, Thompson, Paterka.
Yeah.
Greenway, McLeod, Zucker. Paterka, Kulik, Thompson. Malenstein, Krebs, Lafferty. Tuck, Thompson, Zucker. Quinn, Cousins, Paterka. Paterka, McLeod, Quinn. And now Benson, Kulik, and Thompson. And the numbers are good. They have 8 goals for, 4 against at 5-on-5 play. They have a pretty nice share of, you know, goals for percentage. Their Corsi's pretty good. And the reason this is relevant or like a worthy talking point is, again, you're inexperienced on 2/3 of the line in yeah. Benson and Kulik. So it does make you wonder where those players slot in next year. I'm trying to figure out what we should make of this trio and what it may look like here moving forward.
Well, I mean, I like Kulik and Thompson together, and you know, I think that it's good. I just don't see that if you want to be that team that is going to be okay. We are taking a step forward. We saw how the end of the season went, and with a little bit more, like it could be a big difference. I think that's where you can make a big splash. And maybe that means that Norris would be playing with Tuck and Zucker, which I have no problem. Because instead of having Norris Thompson and player X on the wing, maybe it's Kulik Thompson and player X on the wing. And if you don't find anybody, or if you don't have the opportunity to add, then you want to roll Benson, Kulik Thompson, McLeod, Paterka, Quinn, and maybe Norris, Tuck, and Zucker. I think I'm okay with it. I just don't want to see this as the answer is right there and, you know, we're fine. Like, I think there's an opportunity to even let everybody know, look, we finished the season pretty well, but we're going to take another step. Mm-hmm. We are going to get and add that piece that I feel like is missing at the moment.
Are there any combinations that we're witnessing right now that you would expect to be the same?
Like up front?
Yeah.
McLeod, Paterka, Quinn.
Okay.
Because I think the other two, depending on what you want to do, how do you want to split them, you may even say, look, we're going to go, you know, Yuri, do we want Yuri as a top two line center? We're going to try Thompson back in the middle, but we'll put Yuri on the wing and maybe we put Tuck on the wing. I don't see that happening. I really feel like Yuri's a center. Yuri is in the middle. And right now, Thompson, maybe he wants to play center, but I think Thompson wants to score 45 and 50 goals more, and he's getting that chance and that look in on the wing. Not that he wasn't getting it in the middle, but it's not depleted his performances. It's not taken away his goals and his production by being on the wing. I think then you can add in the way that you're flexible because of that.
Yeah, I struggle with having any meaningful debate as to Tage's production being remotely tied to his position, because he scored 47 as a center and he may score 47 again as a largely a winger. So I there are many other ways to then evaluate. Okay, yes, he got the same amount of goals, but what was it like defensively? Well, you know, and this is what happens when you have, you know, different coaches. They're going to view a player differently. And to Tage's credit, he has very much taken this in stride, and clearly has run with it to the point where he may end up second only to Draisaitl in goals this year.
Yeah, which is a great compliment to Tage, because
100%.
He scored 47 as a center 2 years ago, and last year he was hurt. He still got to 29, mm-hmm. and now this year things are being changed, and it could have easily gone to the other way and says, man, I'm not playing center. It doesn't work. Look, I've seen a lot of growth in Tage this year in different situations. Mm-hmm. You know, in is like how, well, maybe that's just the way that it goes, but how he was having the longest time talking to the media last week. Like, he sat there and answered questions and talked. Mm-hmm. Like, Tage was always pretty short and pretty quick to what I think he was answering questions. And so I see a guy that's looking at the, you know, the leadership and maybe having a responsibility to talk to the media and communicate with them. Mm. He's a RICO award finalist. Why? Because there's more than just the points. And, yeah, you know, that's great. We know Darlene's going to be there. We know Tuck's going to be there. But who is going to be that other guy that was going to be a finalist? Tage Thompson is there. There's been a maturity side to Tage this year that I think we've seen. But the move to wing and the continued production, that's maturity as well. I know everybody's going to say, you play hockey, you have to produce. It doesn't matter where they play you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we've seen it all. Some guys get pouty. Some guys are like, I'm not getting my center position. I'm not doing this. I'm not getting power play. No, it's the power play was still there, but it's not like he was producing on the power play. He was producing 5-on-5.
Mm-hmm. Amherst, by the way, are in action tonight, and they have Belleville for a third straight game before hosting Laval on Friday. It's Ryan Miller Hall of Fame night in Rochester. There are a lot of really good things going on around this particular night as far as, you know, giveaways and little replica Miller things that'll be available for, you know, those who get into Blue Cross Arena early. I would just encourage you to go to Amherst.com to find out, like, as much as humanly possible. I think it's going to be super fun. Warm-ups, they'll have special Ryan Miller jerseys that they're wearing, which, you know, the Amherst have mastered. I guess it comes from being, like, in the driver's seat historically in American Hockey League history with, like, the best jerseys that you just know.
They have a good logo.
You just know how to recreate them and appeal to the masses, and the Amherst do that time and time and time again. And, like, very fitting with who Ryan is and what he has always stood for.
Yeah.
The tickets for this game, Amherst.com/HOF night, $2 from every ticket is going to be donated to Big Brothers Big Sisters of Greater Rochester. And obviously we have, you know, Ryan's Catwalk for Charity event on Thursday night here in Buffalo prior to his big Rochester night on Friday. It's nice. It's, you know, you kind of run out of words for good people. And I might feel like I'm at that point right now. So just soak in the fact that Ryan is back in Western New York for a couple of nights. And whichever event you can get to, I would encourage you to do so, because from Ryan's standpoint, as he has reflected to us through his generosity over the years, it always comes from a good place. So
it comes from a good place. He's very happy to be here. It was funny because when I went to the suite third period to talk to Milzy and his wife Noreen and Bodie and Ryan were watching the game, and they were almost like, you know what? We're watching the game. So I just chatted with Noreen for a little bit because Ryan and Bodhi were.
They had like, to chat with somebody.
I had to talk to somebody, but you know, I was like, hey, how you guys doing? How's life? Blah, blah, blah. I was California. Hi, how's it been? I know it's a busy week. It's great to have you guys. And then all of a sudden, Bodhi's like, that's a trip. He was like watching the game, and Ryan's like, yeah, you're right. They're going to go into power play. And I'm like, okay, well, Noreen, how are you doing? Like, you know, so that's what kind of like, but I love it. I love that they're into it. I love that they're, you know, they come in, they want to watch the team. They want to watch it. Like if the team was not doing well, they probably wouldn't, but the team's doing well. And it's fun to see it do what it does now. So it was good. I saw John Scott as we were leaving yesterday. Mm-hmm. So him and his family, extended family, baby number 8 was in a car seat when walking out. So he had all 8 kids at the game last night with his wife.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Yes, how big is this vehicle?
Well, it's got to fit him, number one, so it's got to be pretty big.
Correct.
But yes. So, but he'll be back Thursday for the catwalk for charity.
Yes. I would hope so. Got to maximize your time here.
Phil, wow. A legend for, you know, that preseason game against Toronto and the Phil Kessel moment.
Yeah, he was also more legendary for his, you know, behind our camera position antics, you know, for post-game.
Can I tell you a great John Scott story? And that's not a Buffalo story. That's a New York Rangers story. I don't know John Scott at all. And he gets traded from Chicago to Toronto to New York right before the deadline for our push to the playoff in 12-13. So we, obviously, at the end of practice, you know, like the extra guys, and John Scott was an extra guy on the backup goalie. Mm-hmm. We have to stay on the ice. One practice at MSG, morning skate, Torts is yelling, everybody get off the ice. Everybody off the ice. Well, that doesn't mean everybody. That means everybody that's playing tonight, get off the ice. I want you guys out of here. If you're not playing tonight, you're probably staying. So John Scott followed the herd into the locker room, and he's halfway undressed, right? When Mike Sullivan is like, skating at the extra guys and me and doing some drills. And he looks around, and he goes, where's John Scott? We're like, well, he kind of left with everybody when Torts told him to get off the ice. And he goes, oh, no, no. So he's telling the trainers, go get John Scott. 5 minutes later, John Scott comes back, like his head down, like, I didn't know. But they could have said, John Scott, stay over, like you're halfway undressed. No, they made him get his gear back on and come back out. He was not happy. He was a little bit angry after that.
Hilarious. I love it. And undoubtedly, you will have more. Well, I mean, people will have more John Scott stories after attending the catwalk for charity on Thursday. That seems inevitable. And we also want you to put yourself in the mix for winning a Jason Zucker jersey off of his back. Now, this will come up on Fan Appreciation Night, April 17th. You can win 2 tickets to this, plus that opportunity to win Zucker's game-worn jersey on the ice after the game. Visit sabres.com/jersey to win. Jason is the Sabres Masterton Trophy nominee for this season. We've got lots more to get to as Sabres Live continues after this.
Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
You know, unacceptable. That game was should have been wrapped up. We just got to find a way to get it done.
Jamie Benn after last night. Sorry, I cannot laugh like this.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
There were so many things get stated after any sporting event. And it's like, yeah, obviously, right? And so when ESPN was recapping this in their intermission of the Vegas Colorado game, you know, after NHL stats had done all the research,
yeah,
you know, the score is up there and it's like NHL history. I'm like, yeah, obviously, because like what team? You don't even, there's some things you should never even have to look up. You should instinctively know that in the history of this sport and most others, there has never been a, keep in mind, like the NHL record for, you know, three goals is in 21 seconds. Like,
yes.
And that was forever ago. And that had no context to holding a three-goal lead.
Like end of game.
End
or
of
whatever,
game
yeah.
After you've already posted the empty netter to go up 5-2 and completely dispirit the opponent. Like, anyway, I laugh. I mean, part of me wishes there was just this furious anger, you know, from the Dallas Stars. And then it's like, okay, well, they've pretty much blown their chance at the President's Trophy, but other than that, who cares?
You know what else is a little funny? So when they said the Vancouver Canucks become the first team to erase a three-goal deficit in the last minute of a game, mm-hmm. my first thinking was, okay, like, when did they score the goal? But it works because Arttu Räty scored with 1 minute left. If he had scored with 1 minute and 1 second left, all of a sudden, you can't have that headline.
Well, we would. We would round off.
They're the first team to overcome a three-goal deficit in the last 61 seconds of the game. Like, yeah. But now it fits good because it is a round number. Like, you like round numbers, Duffer.
I do.
So that makes it last minute of a game.
I am a rounder, though, and an exaggerator. And you could add to that list. Feel free to do so on social media. I won't see it. Anyway.
Okay, so if you're a rounder and an exaggerator, and are looking at contracts and are looking at the future as we're doing now. I think I mentioned something on the broadcast yesterday about Alex Tuch eligible for an extension on July 1, right? And we're like, oh, we'll be talking about that a lot. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we asked people on social media, what are your takeaways from yesterday's game and you know, what the Sabres have been doing? And we're getting maybe you need to extend Reimer short term and Tuch long term. Like that's, and a lot of people, again, run into a lot of people around town and they're like, oh, Reimer's, I'm like, yeah, it's a great story. It's fun to watch. The guys in the locker room are giving him props. Lindy's saying career best, Reimer's 7-game winning streak. There's a lot of really good things there. I'm all for saying Alex Tuch, you got to extend him on July 1. Mm-hmm. He's got one more year left, so you got a year left at 4.75, I believe that is, for Tucky. Mm-hmm. Yes, and then after that, well, that's going to cost you. You know, Alex Tuch will be 29 when his contract expires. So, you know, he's 28 right now. So next year at this time of year, you're still getting some great years out of Alex Tuch and the way that he plays. So I say, yes, he's candidate number one for extension. Yes, you also have to think of Jack Quinn and J.J. Paterka that need a new contract this summer. There's a lot. But I'm unfortunately, and I love James Reimer, I'm not ready to say he's the high-end priority right now. I think you have to kind of let it play out. You have to kind of see where the goalie landscape goes this summer, what is available, what is not available, who's looking at moving, what do you want to do? That includes Luukkonen, that includes Levi, that includes what are you doing with your crease moving forward. So I don't want to say, go ahead and sign Reimer now for next year, because it probably would not be the right thing to do at this moment. You have to evaluate where you're going to go and what goalies are going to be available.
There are so many things now to discuss, and I'm running out of room on my paper to take notes. First thing I thought of when you said, like, now's not the time, or there's not urgency on Reimer, and this is just me asking a question. This is no commentary attached to it. Why was there urgency to do Zucker and Greenway, in your opinion?
Because it was at the trade deadline and you had value on Zucker and Greenway.
Okay.
And if you weren't going to sign them, and if they didn't want to be here long term, right, the future, then you move on, you get pieces.
Perfect. This is good context. I'm glad I asked the question, because I think it's a good reminder for everybody why things happen the way they do. Reimer wasn't playing back then. Why would you even have that discussion?
And I don't think there's urgency in saying, like, teams were going to line up to get James Reimer.
Correct.
Even now, you have until July 1 to figure it out with Reimer. He's not a free agent until then.
But we're running out of time in the show and we need to tackle some of these things. So, when you think of Tuck and the next contract and knowing what he as a player would want, and he's not been to the playoffs yet as a Sabre, and he's maxing out his value in many, many, many ways as a forward that is so well-rounded in today's game, do you think from either side that a max deal length, 8 years, is something that the Sabres and Tuck both, neither, would want?
I think that Alex Tuch would probably like an 8-year deal because he'll be 29 going on 30 that year. That takes him to 37, 38. That's like saying it's one of your last contracts, right? Like, hit it big. You had a nice contract out of Vegas. You got traded to Buffalo. You performed well. Boom, you hit it big. Mm-hmm. I think it would be a little cautious for the Sabres to explore what a 5 and/or a 6-year deal would be like. Mm. But I think if you put a 5 or 6-year deal on the table, then it's going to be for more money. If you're Alex Tuch, you probably can say, I'll take the 8 years at a little bit less so that it's, you know, keeps my cap number down, but I'll make the money over 8 years. Mm. Because if you give Tuch 6 years and he's 35 going on 36 when he's out of that contract, he's not going in and getting another huge contract. He's probably going in getting a modest 2 or 3 year deal somewhere if it's not Buffalo. What's that number like? It would be interesting to see when.
I'm not even concerned about the number anymore. For me, it's the length. Like, that's, I mean, producer Jeff and I are on the same page here. Like, I think the big curiosity, we all know players get paid. To me, it's length. It's commitment time. It's belief. And from both sides here, what are you going to get if you're the Sabres, if you go 8 years? And for Tuch, what am I looking at if I sign for 8 years here? These, right?
So maybe? If Tuch signs for 8 years, I think what a very round number projection would be 8 times 864.
Yeah.
Like, that's probably a really good, and maybe it's a little bit more than that. But it's, I think it feels like 8 times 8, 64 is potentially where the number is at. Now, if you say, okay, that's a 6-year deal, then you're probably looking at 6 times 8.75. That's what you're looking at. Maybe even 6 times 9. Because right. He's saying, look, if the Sabres really want a shorter term deal, then he's going to want at least $1 million more per year. Because that would mean...
Also not that short.
6 is not that short, but the extra 2 years, that's potentially $16 million, right?
Right.
So if you do 8 times 8. So if you do 6 times 9...
I can't even imagine that. Right? Yeah, I don't know.
Six times 9, that's 54.
Right.
So that's $10 million less over the length of the contract than 8 times 8.
Mm-hmm. So you're thinking there's no way it would ever be even any shorter than that? Like, what's the shortest deal a player would take here?
Not at 29,
right?
28, 29, like the extension. You'd think 1 year left plus 8. Maybe they say 1 year left plus 7.
Yeah.
But I think it would be 6, 7, 8. That would be like the three options I would lay out with numbers and try to see what works best for everybody.
Okay. I don't like promising anything, but I promise you this will be the most relevant part of anything we've discussed today.
Ooh.
All right. Got to get ready for it. Got to settle in here. It's an important discussion. It's actually been on the minds of people, many people, for months. Yuri Kulik, who we started the show talking about, as you know, he's now 10 games in to this current trio of Benson, Kulik, Thompson. We have seen him play in number one center position for more than half this year when healthy, and often with Tage Thompson, obviously. The paper transactions say he can go to Rochester for the playoffs. Many people have asked, hoped, will he play in Rochester for the playoffs? When you look at this question and look at it from both sides, or all sides might be a more accurate way, like, what do you think is going to happen here? You think Yuri Kulik's going to play in the American Hockey League playoffs?
No, I don't. I don't think he does. And I look, he's already played 56 games this year, right? There's 5 games left. He could play 61 games this season in the National Hockey League. That's a full season. Mm-hmm. That's a full NHL season by a player that I don't see the benefit of saying, go and play in the Rochester in the AHL playoffs. He did it last year, and the year before he had the World Juniors. And look, there's been a lot. Like, he didn't go to development camp last year because he had played so much hockey that they're like, take development camp off, right? Like those Rochester guys, and especially Yuri Kulik. So I'm looking at this year, he's a full-time NHL guy. And the flip coin of that is, okay, so if Yuri goes, he's playing top power play, top line center, and you have somebody that has had a good season that is maybe getting bumped, a prospect that's getting bumped. Maybe that's Noah Ostlund that's getting bumped. Maybe that's Isaac Roseanne that's not getting the same look. Maybe that's Anton Wahlberg that's not getting the same look. Saying, and look, that's just my opinion. Maybe they think Yuri Kulik in Rochester will make the team way better and give him a way better chance to win a Calder Cup, and that's the end goal with the organization. That would be very true, that the end goal is to still win a Calder Cup, win the AHL playoffs. But for me, I say the season ends, you do your end-of-year meeting, maybe Yuri goes to the World Championship with Team Czechia, and that gives him that experience, but it wouldn't be playoffs in the AHL.
How much does an agent get involved in a situation like this?
I think they do.
I mean, it's ultimately the team decision, right? Like,
yes, because if they say you're going, you have no choice. If you don't report, then you're getting suspended or whatever. It looks bad. It looks really bad.
Right, exactly.
But I think in that situation, the team would work with the player and the agent to see what is the best scenario. What's the best situation? What are you comfortable with? What are we comfortable with? And what do you want to do? So at the end of the day, if Yuri Kulik goes to the Sabres and says, guys, I really want to go to Rochester. I want to play in the playoffs in Rochester. I'd be surprised if the Sabres says, no, we don't want you to go.
Right.
If the player comes up to them. But I can see some teams that are going to say, we don't want you to go because X, Y, Z. You know, and maybe it has to do with the players that are there right now. Maybe it has to do with Yuri's season. You're an NHL guy, like, we don't want. But if the Sabres pose the question, Yuri and his agent are going to have that conversation as to what they want to do. I see the path of NHL season's over, North American season's over, go to the World Championship, get yourself ready for next year. You know, you're showing up in training camp. There's no development camp with Yuri. There's no rookie camp with Yuri. It's training camp. You're a Buffalo Sabres.
Obviously, the expectation is that Noah Östlund will continue here as needed based on, you know, the openings created by injury, and then he will return to Rochester. The hope is that Tyson Kozak, who's nursing his hip strain, will also be able to have a significant impact on the Amerks in the playoffs. Beyond that, the only real talking point here is whether Kulik goes, as he is able to do, from, you know, paper transaction at the trade deadline, allowed him to, you know, be on the Amerks playoff roster. And we'll see.
It is like Benson is not, right? And that's right. Like the same thing. Like Benson's an NHL guy.
Zach just flew over the whole AHL thing when he made the Sabres at 18.
Yeah, it was like there was never the paper transaction. There was never the option like Zach could go and play. No, that was Zach is here. I think Yuri is in the same boat.
Yeah. All right. Very good, as always. I throw anything your way, and you have the uncanny ability to put it all into proper context. We're back after this on Marty's Broad Shoulders here on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Amerks are home to Belleville tonight. Encore performance, perhaps, for Konsta Hellenius on the heels of his first hat trick, and Devon Levi coming off a shutout. And Devon Levi managed to, so far, shut out Alex Ovechkin. And thus, he was honored by Budweiser Canada and Bud Zero for his accomplishments, Marty.
Yeah, they send a beer, like, in a nice box to all the goalies that have faced Ovechkin and faced at least one shot. So Devon Levi tags it by saying, thank you for the four dump ins, basically the four shots from center ice. I don't think they were all dump ins, but Curtis Joseph had one. There's plenty of goalies that have gotten it, shared it on social media. It was great. Now, because we're on the Ovechkin thing, there was a great story, and I love Oli the goalie, Olaf Kolzig, because I've got to meet him a few times. My brother played with him, and he texted Ovi saying, congrats, man. That says awesome. So Ovi responded to Oli by saying, you're a part of it. That's and it's not just my record. You're a part of it. And Oli goes, you only scored one goal on me. What are you talking about? He goes, you assisted in five of my goals, which is incredible that Ovi found out that Olaf Kolzig assisted on five of Ovechkin's goals. That was fantastic.
What's it going to take to have three people between the benches? You, Razor, Tasker on a game night.
Well, it's going to take it to be a non-Sabres game day. What a job by Steve Tasker with Razor in between the benches. He's a pro. And Razor was saying the same thing. It was great to have both of them talk and have Dan kind of join the conversation. So I'm so happy he didn't get hit with a puck. Thank you, everyone, for protecting Steve.
Tonight, Toronto at Tampa. Lightning can pull into a first-place tie in the Atlantic. St. Louis is at Edmonton. Minnesota's home to San Jose. Calgary's at Anaheim. Those are all wild card implication games in the West. See you tomorrow.